Welcome to the Rare Disorder Podcast. I'm your host, Shivani. This is my third episode of my Meet a Fighter series, so let's get into it. Today, I'm going to be addressing the rare condition 2Q37 deletion syndrome. So, how rare is this condition? This is an extremely rare condition, and I mean extremely rare. Up until today, only 115 cases have been reported worldwide. What is this condition? It is a chromosome disease that can affect many different parts of the body. To be specific, this condition is characterized by short stature, weak muscle tone during infancy, mild to severe intellectual disability, and developmental delay, autistic behavior, and other physical abnormalities, which include short hand bones and scoliosis. In addition, a few people with 2Q37 deletion syndrome also have a rare form of kidney cancer known as Wilms tumor. So, what are some symptoms of this condition? Some symptoms include characteristic facial features such as a prominent forehead, highly arched eyebrows, deep-set eyes, a flat nasal bridge, and many more. Some other symptoms are short stature, obesity, scoliosis, sparse hair, seizures, heart defects, and many more. What are the causes of this condition? 2Q37 deletion syndrome is caused by a deletion of genetic material from a specific region in the long Q arm of chromosome number 2. This is a terminal deletion, meaning it occurs near the end of the chromosome, specifically at location 2Q37. The size of the deletion varies from case to case, and some symptoms depend on how large or small the deletion is. One thing to note is that most cases of 2Q37 deletion syndrome are not inherited. They often result from a random chromosomal deletion that occurs during the formation of reproductive cells. So, how can a diagnosis be made? Making a diagnosis can be extremely difficult, just like for all rare diseases or disorders. Healthcare professionals do a comprehensive assessment and physical examination, and they also may order genetic tests to assist in further diagnosis. What are some related disorders? Some related disorders include AHO, Prader-Willi syndrome, and other segmental syndromes. Now I am so excited to bring in Megan Freeman, who will be on with me today to discuss her rare condition. Welcome, Megan. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Shivani. How about you?
I'm good, thank you. So I'm just going to be asking you a couple of questions so we can get to know you and about your story. So first, can you talk about an average day in your life?
Sure. That's a good question, as it certainly has been varied, especially due to just the life after post-COVID. But I can tell you that when I get up in the morning, I use a Bible app just to kind of, I think, give me a sense of what's important in life, for today.
Mm-hmm.
And I also love to cook. My goal is to cook every single major country's cuisine that is. And then I also make cards. And mm-hmm. I also, anxiety is a real thing. So I have some meds for the skin. And I also take some meds called carbogulin for my rare disease twice a week.
Yeah, all right. So, is there anything, you feel that other people should know about your disorder?
Yeah. So, I can start by giving a general background before getting into how it relates to me.
Mm-hmm.
For my condition, which is called 2Q37 chromosome deletion, the real official word for it is 2Q37 chromosome deletion syndrome, but I've just shortened it and just gotten shortened to say 2Q37 chromosome deletion. But for this, there's been definitely some delay in growth, and some people who have this have some heart deformalities where they have holes in their heart, and I've heard that that can resolve on its own, but obviously that's pretty serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then people are also short, they're short stature, they also have fine motor issues, and certainly I'm prone to this just in general, but they have a tendency to put on weight.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is that there's only, it's kind of unknown as to how many of us are out here, but as some organization I know had reported, kind of according to report it, there have been 150 confirmed cases worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's super rare.
Did you say 150?
150, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's really rare.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, I just was thinking that, wow, I mean, it's just kind of an interesting thing. I mean, I'm always kind of curious to see, well, okay, who else is out here? And I feel that, especially some real conditions like this, I think the more we advocate for it, the better.
Uh-huh, and just, like, bringing awareness overall through, like, social media and other platforms is, like, really helpful so people can learn about them.
Yeah, definitely do try and post as much of that as I can just to get it out to, you know, the general public, but obviously then also people in the rare disease world, too, who can say, okay, that's another condition out there, too.
Yeah. So, moving on to the next question, how are you coping with it?
You know, good question. I got diagnosed with a benign tumor, which is like an overgrowth of a pituitary gland, and just low levels of prolactinoma, which affect the hormone for both in that sense. So it's really, I guess, been a journey. I just kind of gone to my go-to people over the years. And certainly gone to counseling. I do really recommend that. It's certainly great, especially for something like this. And I got diagnosed when I was 16. So, you know, just, I guess, I've always been a huge believer that God can guide you every step of the way. So just between my, like, go-to people and God, I guess those are the main ways that I have coped with it. I've also wrote. Like to write down my emotions, and I mean, I just, I'm a writer, so I like to sometimes put things into poetry or song.
Yeah, I think poetry is definitely a good way to express your feelings. And I saw that you also, like, make cards. I saw on your Instagram. I think that's really creative of you, and they're, like, really pretty.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it just kind of, like, have this thing where I just kind of do things. If I have some ideas, I kind of put this thing where I like to do that. My mind goes a million miles a minute, so I literally just, if I have an idea, I just kind of go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I really think that's a great outlet to really take, just, like, being really creative and stuff like that. Personally, I'm a really creative person as well.
Nice.
So, have you ever encountered a major struggle with your condition, and how did you overcome it?
You know, that's a good question. That's a definitely big question because I've gone through so many different things over the years, so many different situations relating to that. I mean, definitely the first would be just dealing with the fact that, well, okay, once I kind of heard, okay, what is, quote unquote, what was wrong with me, I heard that I had what was called a benign tumors. So I remember obviously getting pretty sad at that, because just to mention of the word tumor, I was thinking, do I have cancer? I'm going to live and not worry about dying. So mm-hmm. that's definitely been something that I have just kind of dealt with in the moment here once my parents sat down with me and told me what was up. I think it's safe to say that all of us just all on this journey together, and it was probably because they kind of learned, okay, this is what was going on, but then I also learned it too. So there's really kind of been a mixture of emotions there, where obviously I was sad, but I was relieved, because over the years I've had to go get different testing too. I mean, totally unrelated, but maybe related in the sense that with my liver disease, there's been some suggestion that because of that growth delay, that there's been some maybe ties in having a learning disability,
mm-hmm.
which I have a learning disability, and over the years I've gotten testing for that to see that, okay, I have like a slow processing thing. And I guess just so once I got that diagnosis that I have the liver disease, I do believe that life can be a big, big mystery and a big kind of miracle within itself. But I heard that, and that really kind of helped kind of give me a sense of clarity, I'd say, that okay, maybe now things are starting to kind of connect together now, too. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, what was I saying?
Sorry, no, go ahead.
Oh, so I also have been dealing with that, because first I do believe that the journey within itself of getting diagnosed can be kind of one at the same point, where you get diagnosed and then you kind of accept or come to the kind of terms of accepting what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got that diagnosis and said, okay, other than thinking, okay, why am I different? You know, there's definitely, you know, something kind of different. I feel alone because, you know, it's a real condition. I don't know many people who have that. And I guess just between having all those emotions, and then I guess maybe it's because of being at the time of life that I was at, I just, once I was a junior in college, I ended up kind of thinking, well, shoot, it hit me. I was really, really worried. Well, I felt, in most of the sense, because of my liver disease, I feel like I've kind of aged 20 years in terms of, like, the thinking, in terms of having to mm-hmm. think for potential things. I was thinking that will I be able to have kids? Will I be able to? It's very much been something that I've always wanted to have, you know, like, mm-hmm. I've always, yeah, so it was something where it was really, really hard just thinking about it and thinking that I don't know if I'll be able to have that. So that was a really, really rough time, never mind feeling alone, just dealing mm-hmm. with loneliness, but drawing my liver disease, a triple whammy, yes. I think between that and then just going to go to the process of get genetic testing, which that obviously that was hard. At least, you know, I thought about getting genetic testing. It turned out that I was good, that I didn't need that, but it's just been hard. It's kind of been feeling like, okay, so I see this catalog of people who have rare diseases from this organization who I know that actually was able to let my doctors know what my condition is. It's just been one of those things where I felt like, okay, who am I going to find who can have that? And then I luckily found a group of people, and I feel that to finding this one person, this guy who I was dating, I'm still dating him. I just like through like shortly before we ended up dating, through that kind of process, he ended up saying that he had a rare disease, and then I said, "Oh, I have one too." So it really just opened up a whole this avenue, because especially since his mom, slowly asking, is amazing. She has this organization called Congenital Hyperinsulinism International. And with that, I think it's really just been amazing. I mean, remember on the first date with him, she asked me about my liver disease. And she said, "So you have a liver disease, tell me a little more about that." And I think, yeah, something just kind of clicked, or something just, you know, wanted me to, like, something in my mind wanted me to just advocate for those, you know, clean up misconceptions along the way, what I think there's been misunderstandings about having a liver disease. Mm-hmm. Getting the word out there.
Yeah, I'm so happy, like, you found that group, and, like, you have, like, such a great support system now, and you really got out of that, like, rut you were in before. And, like, what you were saying about advocating, that leads into my next question. So, if any, what are some initiatives that you take to raise awareness for this disease?
Sure. So, in addition to, as you mentioned earlier, my card making, I do this thing called, called Live Across America, where I've been able to just really be able to contact senators and legislators of my state in terms of, like, liver disease issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did that.
Yeah, I've heard that, like, a lot of the people I've interviewed in the past are also part of that organization.
Yeah.
Is it, like, a national, like, organization, or what is it?
Yeah, so Live Across America, I believe they're, like, based in D.C., like, I should say, every life is based in D.C., every life is who hosts these events. So there's Live Across America, which is their major one, but they have other ones, too, in terms of, like, trying to encourage advocacy. And it's really been amazing. I mean, I don't know about you, but I get energized by people. So just talking with them and talking with the representatives and the senators, or just having some really good conversations with them, conversations relating to, you know, how I can better help people with their diseases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, so just, like, one more question I have. So are there any resources you would like to share that you have come across to help other people with the same disorder? Or this could also be like any organizations they can seek out, or like just anything like that.
Sure, yeah, I'm a few. After being connected, especially connecting with some people on Instagram, which I know one of my friends, as I know on your last podcast, said this, that just connecting on Instagram, I've been able to find all these amazing organizations, connect with them, but I'd really say that my main organizations that I really recommend is Unique. Well, so the first one is Unique, and the second one is No. Unique is an organization that is based in the UK. They raise awareness about all sorts of new diseases, not just my condition, but, like, it's been super just helpful, I'd say, just to know that, okay, this is the information about my rare disease. And whenever I went to doctor's appointments, my parents and I would always bring the information about my rare condition to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd also say that our odyssey has been wonderful. It's been super amazing. I mean, speaking of before, how you're saying that I found that outlet, I really think that through Ben, like, in a kind of, Ben's the person, by the way, Ben's the person that I'm dating who has this real condition too. Through him, I've really kind of been able to find this other organization. Kind of, he indirectly led me to them just because he was a part of them. And they're a super big organization just to not only know other like-minded people who have their diseases, to know that you're not alone in this, but also it's been super amazing to be able to form some really good friendships with some of them along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's also your, but what were you saying? What did Beth say?
Yeah, that's, like, really great, like, especially on Instagram, I see all these organizations and, like, communities, and I just feel that it's really strong, and it's, like, a really good support system for everyone with rare diseases and conditions.
All right. Yeah, so I think between that and then also YAR, which, like, stands for Young Adult Rare Representative, I want to say. I've got the acronym there. Also has acronyms in the rare disease world. But I say that it's been super amazing just being able to connect with my senators and legislators, like being able to hear about all the different bills that are getting passed for people with rare diseases, or mm-hmm. bills that need to get passed.
Yeah, definitely. So I just wanted to close out by asking if there was anything else you would like to share with our audience today?
Sure. So, I know I briefly talked about my card making that I made, and mm-hmm. I thought that, like, I'd give a little bit more, like, background information as opposed to, you know, white onions, why are there onion cards?
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to say that I just drew my onion card just because I think that it really just represents that there's all these different layers that get peeled back within getting peeled back just with people with rare disease and the rare disease community, whether it's just kind of hearing about your diagnosis, accepting it, and then kind of, you know, all the bits of emotions that come along with it. So I thought that I just wanted to draw onion cards, and I draw three onions on the center of the card, as you probably have seen, just to say that, well, life is imperfect. Living with a real condition in particular can be really kind of imperfect that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much. So I would just like to thank you for joining me today, Megan, and sharing your story and really helping me advocate for individuals with rare diseases and disorders. So yeah, that's all I have for today. Just thank you so much for joining me.